Welcome to the Everything New York Giants podcast with New York Giants Fangirl. I'm your host, Adriana. Today, I am joined by the Giant Insider's Jerry Foley. Jerry, thanks for coming back. I think this is like your third time on the show, but welcome back.
I think it's third. Yeah, two times alone. I think once with Chris. So It's good stuff. Thanks, Adriana. Appreciate it.
Yeah, well, I'm excited. We finally made it to draft week. The speculation and rumors are coming to an end. We hope.
Oh, we think. Yeah. I mean, I just cannot wait till Thursday. Got to be honest with you. Like it's great anticipation, but at the same time, it's like, just get here already, man. My God, come on.
Yeah. Like enough is enough. How many times can we drag out our mock drafts and who we think they're going to pick and what's actually going to happen? We'll never know.
Yeah. Every rumor's flying around, every scenario. No one really knows, right? Like they say there's sources, but we always joke like Chris is in the building, like Chris is there all the time. And it's like, you don't know, you know, he doesn't have Joe Shane's board, right? Like it's very tough. And I think 99.9% of it is pure speculation. So,
yeah, I agree. I thought it was interesting in Joe's presser too. I think it was his presser recently. I took that it was the JJ McCarthy thing that he was referring to when he was saying that some of these rumors that he's heard about the Giants, he has no idea where they come from and he thinks that they sound so crazy. So to me, it was the JJ McCarthy because I feel like it went from 0 to 100 overnight in March. So that's, I don't know, maybe that's my own wishful thinking that he's.
Yeah, I think it was being general. You don't want JJ McCarthy, huh?
I mean, I don't want to trade up for him. If they pick him at 6, I will get over it. If they pick him later, it's fine with me. I just think the thing that I don't like about it is that no one was talking about him and he was an end of round 1, early round 2 pick. And he literally did nothing. And then all of a sudden Jim Harbaugh's obsessed with him. So now he's the guy.
And I'm like, I think that happens. And I think that happens with quarterbacks every year, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It happened. I mean, I think it happened with Zach Wilson, right? And I'm not trying to pick a quarterback who's not successful, but it does happen often, right? And it's hard to remember now, but like you go back to like last year, the year, you know, you go back to these guys, but like Mac Jones, that was one that was easily like, all right, this is a third rounder. Nope, now he's 15. Oh, wait, he might go top 3. Like, wait, what? Like Mac Jones. Right. And most of the time I'm naming two horrible examples because if they come to fruition and it's, you know, Mac Jones and Zach Wilson should not have been, at least right now, look like first round picks. So hopefully JJ McCarthy's not that guy. Or turns out not to be that guy. But yeah, it happens every year with these quarterbacks. They just fly up. And I said they're like stocks, right? They rise and fall on basically your feel sometimes, right? Like not really any data or nothing. There's no recent game. It's just, yep, they're going to rise now. We're high on McCarthy. So
yeah, it's crazy.
Yep.
So let's talk about the quarterbacks for a minute. If the Giants were to trade up for anyone, obviously Caleb Williams is going to be out of the question. Who would you choose out of those guys? I think Chris likes Jaden Daniels. He's his top guy.
Yeah, I would say Jaden Daniels and Caleb are not reasonable because I don't think the Commanders are moving. And I would be as sure as we all are that Caleb Williams is going to the Bears. I'm like slightly less certain that Jaden Daniels is going to the Commanders. So, you know, out of the remainder, I like Drake May the best. I like him the best because of the fact that we have Dable, and I trust that Dable can bring the Josh Allen out of him rather than the Carson Wentz, right?
Like, yes,
he has horrible habits that are not going to fly in the pros. Like, there's throws where he makes where you're like, all right, amazing throw, but there's no way you're pulling that off in the NFL, at least not with the frequency that he did in college. So, you know, the cross body throws, things like that. Like it's amazing, but you got to be careful. So I trust that Dable can mold him into the closest thing to Josh Allen that this draft kind of, you know, has, right? Like out of all these guys, he's the one comparable where you're like, you know what? This guy's pretty close to Josh Allen as far as ability goes. You know, Caleb, everyone's saying Mahomes. I don't know, but obviously you have to take that chance if you're the Bears. Jaden Daniels is very interesting. He's bigger than you think, right? He looks kind of, his build is weird, right? He takes a lot of hits too. He will get drilled. He will run hard and get hit. If you look at his highlights, like I was surprised at the number of hits he took, but still, you know, it's kind of like the Randall Cunningham / RG3 type of comparison, right? But You know, out of the remainder, I would say Drake May.
Yeah.
And then after that, we're just saying about JJ McCarthy. I hate to say he's a winner because it's such a, it's like a generic easy route, easy way out, but he's 27-1, right? Like, I don't know. I don't know what to think there. So I wouldn't be mad if they took JJ McCarthy. But it depends what are you going to give up for him? Are you going to give up a one next year to get him? You know, again, you have to trust Shane and Dable, but to, long story short, I would go with May. I like May the best.
Yeah. I love Daniels, but I just think that there's probably no shot of us getting him. And it's the same thing, right? Like if the Commanders really didn't need a quarterback or the Patriots, then it's
now,
an open.
If the Commanders take May, then there's, okay, what do you want to give up, Patriots, what will it take? Will it take this year's one, a three, and then two ones following? Is that worth it for Jaden Daniels? I kind of think it might be. I know that's crazy. Three ones, but one of them this year and a third, something like that. Then I think you do it. I think I would, you know, if you believe in him that much. So, but I just, like I said, I just think Jaden Daniels is going two overall.
Yeah, I think so too. What was I going to say about the quarterback thing? Oh, sorry. What I thought was really interesting was in Joe's presser too, he said, we're not one or two players away. And I couldn't tell if he is using that as a smokescreen, but I think maybe it would be different, you know, if the Patriots didn't need a quarterback, like I just can't see them trading out of that spot. And I think like Joe said, we need so many players that I really would be surprised if they end up trading up to get one of those quarterbacks. I think that would surprise me more than anything else than what they do at six. Would you feel the same way? Or if they picked, you know, Joe Alt or a tackle or someone at six, is that something else that would surprise you more?
Joe Alt would surprise me. Yeah. I don't
feel
believe
the same way.
I don't believe a word Joe Shane says. And I mean that in a good way. Like I'm over the Jerry Reese era of everyone knowing what we're doing. Dave Gettleman kind of, Dave Gettleman, you knew they were taking Barkley. We were hoping against hope they wouldn't take Jones. We kind of knew Andrew Thomas. Kadarius Toney, okay, you got us, Dave, but that was a terrible pick, right? You're like, you fooled us. But like, I don't know. I like that I don't know what Joe Shane's thinking. I'd rather it be that way. So I don't believe a word he says. And I mean that in a positive, good way.
Yeah.
But I do agree if he means it, that we're a lot of players away. Like we talk about it all the time. You are quarterback, wide receiver. The offensive line is still not, I mean, you got guys in here, but come on, right tackle. You need probably another guard. Defensive tackle next to Dexter Lawrence, starting cornerback. Like we have
the list
holes.
Goes on. Yeah.
I mean, we have starting holes, not just reserve holes. So yeah.
Would you, so when it comes to the offensive line, from what I'm hearing about everything related to this draft is it's a deep guard gap draft. I think a little bit with tackle, but not so much with center. But I'm a little worried about the backup center situation. And I know that I think it's Stinney that has center experience.
Yeah.
But I just feel like with the way that this offensive line has gone, especially with all the injuries, is there a specific position on the line that you would go for, or would you just go best player available, maybe in a later round, anyone in the offensive line?
I think you go best player available from rounds three on, right? Mm-hmm. Once you, like I keep saying, like if they go quarterback round one, they almost have to go wide receiver round two because you need a number one receiver still. So I'm looking at like a guy like Keon Coleman, right? That's the name I keep throwing around. Mm-hmm. But then after that, you need so much that you almost have to go best player available from then on out because of all the positions we just named. You know, even if the best player available is a running back, it's like, well, I mean, is Singletary the answer? You know, you can make the argument that we could take a running back in round three if you have the pick and you didn't trade up. So, I think that's how Shane plays it too. I mean, other than rounds one and two, and again, if we go wide receiver round one, then it's okay, best player available round two, three, and if you don't trade up again for a quarterback. Right. And back into the round. I think he thinks the same way. I think he thinks best player available from then on out. But it's that first pick that's going to be interesting to see what they do.
Yeah. And I feel like there's so many different scenarios, especially from round one to round two, it's going to be interesting. I would say the thing that I see them less likely to do is trading out of that sixth spot and trading back, let's say with the Vikings or whatever. Let's, you know, if JJ McCarthy is available, I don't know if they would pass him up and trade. I mean, I can't see them doing that, but you never know. Trading with the Vikings to move back. But I feel like that could very well be a possibility because there are so many holes that we need filled.
Yeah. And maybe they view Penix as the pick at 11, right? Like maybe they look at Penix and McCarthy as the same. Who the hell knows? I don't know.
Right.
Maybe they look at Bo Nix there. So if you trade back, then the names Penix and Nix kind of come into play. And then at 23, wow, you got another pick there. You can take a receiver there like a Ladd McConkey or someone like that. And then second round, it's, oh, wow, we've got, you know, our quarterback and wide receiver in round one. All right, round two, now it's best player available at a corners, whatever. And I'm just making it up. Corner, D-tackle, all those positions we kind of named. So it also depends on, like, where they view those quarterbacks. Like, do they view McCarthy as the same as Penix? And do they think Penix would be there? I mean, I just, you don't know what they're thinking. So we're all speculating like together here. Like every podcast is speculating what they're going to do. And do they even view McCarthy with May or higher than May? I don't think so, but who the hell knows what they're thinking? Maybe they view Penix higher. So yeah, sorry for the, again, it's just, there's so many scenarios they can do.
I know.
Come Thursday that you're like, nothing would surprise me. Even when you said Joe Alt. It would surprise me a little, but I'm not going to get mad about it. I'm not going to be like, oh, shit, they just got the best tackle in the draft. Like, okay, we still need a receiver. We still need – but it means to me that they've given up on Evan Neal. Like, they're just done.
Yeah.
And he goes to guard, right? So.
So, okay, so then I have a question for you because I talked with Dan Schneier about this last night. Is what I look at the Evan Neal scenario is – and I know the confidence thing is important, and I'm on board with that – but at what point do you say we're going to keep him at tackle? And if it doesn't go well, which at this point is a very big if, you possibly move him to guard in the middle of the season and then he's starting all over again. So I don't know. Yeah. And I kind of feel like, why wouldn't you just start him at guard now? And then he's going to have this whole off season, summer and fall, to really prep to be the best that he can be at that position.
So I know you had him on your show, Bobby Johnson, but I think that's the biggest reason as to why they won't. I think they're going to give Brasillo the chance to mold Neal or get him back to why we drafted him to be a tackle. What's interesting there is you got to think, like, with Brian Burns there now, you're going to know quickly if he's going to be your left tackle, right tackle.
That's a good point.
I think practice, like Banks says it all the time, iron sharpens iron. So you're going to see right away, how's he handling Brian Burns? How's he handling hopefully a healthy Azeez Ojulari? Or what Bowen can do on defense is going to change things up and rush different players at him. So I think you're going to see it early, and I think they're going to be able to decide. I think they're going to decide before the end of training camp what Neal's doing. I don't think they have the luxury of saying, oh, week eight, we'll figure this out. I think
it's... Right, that's what I'm worried about. Like, you.
No, I think it's very early on. I think it would be very early on where they say, all right, this is working or this isn't working. Let's pivot. And, you know, Illuminor can go right tackle and then Neal guard. And if Neal doesn't work out at guard, then... Holy crap.
We need, you know, in trouble.
Josh Azudu season or whatever. So, yeah.
That's a scary thought.
Yeah, I mean, again, he was a third round pick. You don't want to give up on him, but he hasn't shown you much, right? These guys that are on the roster haven't shown much. Like, I don't know. Like, Tyree Phillips got me most excited last year at right tackle, only because he played for a little while with Statlin in Philly. So,
right.
You know, the reserves on this team, the starters are bad enough. The reserves really don't get me very excited. Shane Lemieux should be gone, I would imagine.
Oh, my God. If he is not the first person launched, like Chris would say, off this roster come the summer, I'm going to lose my mind. Like, I cannot believe he's still even on the team right now.
The other thing about quarterback I wanted to bring up is, and I didn't bring this up on our podcast either. I was thinking about it the other day. You want to take the quarterback in round one so you have that fifth year option, too. If they work out, like if you take him second year, you don't get that.
Right.
So the option year that we passed on Daniel and then signed him anyway, like I almost think like it goes into their thinking. I'm not saying they would force the pick, but if you draft him in the first round, then you have the option years down the road of saying, all right, you know what, before we decide to do anything here, we're going to give him the fifth year option and then sign him long-term. So I kind of think even if they don't go at six, and they trade down and graft a Penix or Nix, then that has to be in their line of thinking, I would imagine.
Yeah, which is a good point. And there's been a lot of talk of them if they go wide receiver at six, which is what I think they're ultimately going to do, trading back into the first for a Knicks or Penix type.
Yeah. The problem with trading back into the first, though, is you have to give up a lot because they don't pick again until 47.
Right.
So you're trading your second at least, and then you're trading maybe a third or a next year's two. Like, you have to give up a lot to go from 47. Because, I mean, I would imagine you have to give up a lot from 47 to get into, like, into the, you're not going to get into the teens, right? Like, what team's going to be like, oh, yeah, I'll do that. So it's going to be in the 20s. That's if, like, Penix and Knicks are there that long. I don't see him getting past the Raiders, and I don't see him getting past the Broncos. Those two guys. So we'll see. We'll see what the Raiders do, but I could just totally see someone grabbing Knicks and Penix in the teens.
Yeah, I know. It's the whole thing is going to be very interesting. I also am curious, and listen, I don't think that the Bills are going to do anything with Josh Allen, but I've used that as an example to say that once the draft is over, I'm curious if there's going to be any sort of quarterback carousel like there was last year. I don't think it will be as big as it was last year, but we've already seen Mac Jones and Zach Wilson get traded. Yeah. I'm curious to see if there's anything else going on, maybe with a Raiders or a Broncos or something, if they didn't get the guy that they wanted.
Yeah, nothing surprised me too. Like with the Bills, like their window is kind of shutting a little bit, right? So what are they going to do? You know,
right.
I'm not saying Diggs was the man, but if they replaced Diggs with, you know, a wide receiver in the first round, there's a lot of good ones. Brian Thomas, too. He's another one. Then they can kind of go from there. But if their window starts to shut in Buffalo, what do they do? Do they scrap it and rebuild? And then is Josh Allen available after this season? I have no idea, but it's not. I don't think it's unheard of to think that way, no.
Yeah. Which I also had a crazy thought last night, too, is Justin Herbert with the Chargers. I mean, Harbaugh has not shut up about
I've always loved Herbert. I loved Herbert. Loved him.
I mean, I just feel like you never know. Like the way I feel like the Chargers are in a bit of a rebuild. They're kind of starting over. Like they got rid of some of their good players this offseason. So could there ever be a chance where at five, they take JJ McCarthy and then they trade Justin Herbert? I don't know.
I don't think it's dumb. I can't put anything past Harbaugh. I have no idea what he, I keep saying Joe Alt, but he could take a receiver. He's capable of almost anything. Like I wouldn't stun me if he traded down and said, I'm good. I'm going to trade down. And then another team like the Broncos trade up, say ahead of us. And then they take McCarthy. So yeah, I think Harbaugh is sitting pretty right now because no one knows what he's going to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
It would surprise me a little, but it wouldn't stun me if he pulled a move like that. No.
Yeah. I think that would be every Giants' ultimate dream is either Josh Allen or Justin Herbert.
Yeah. I wanted Herbert coming out and then he stayed another year. And I know that Gettleman wanted him too. I'll give Gettleman credit. They were at, you know, they sent a fleet of people to see Herbert every week, the Giants. So he loved Herbert. Then he stayed in college and we got Daniel. So I don't say stuck, but we got Daniel. So
that's how that cookie crumbled.
Yeah. So all that one coming a mile away.
Yeah. Oh my God. What do you think about the Slayton situation? I don't really think that all that much is going to change. I think he's probably doing what he thinks was the smart thing right now. Joe said him and Slayton's agent have a good move. Do you think they would ever trade Slayton?
No, I don't think
they don't
so.
Work out an extension.
I don't know what they would get. Like, what is Slayton worth that you could get for him? Right, like a sixth rounder. Is it worth it? Like, you know what you have. He's a kind of he can surprise you, right? He's a deep threat. It's voluntary camp, so I didn't think much of it. I don't know. I don't think they would get enough for Slayton to even discuss a trade. And you see some of these names that are traded and it's like, what did they get? Like, they got a fifth rounder for, I'm trying to think of like a recent trade, not like Zach Wilson, but you know, a trade of a player that you were a little surprised by and they got nothing for them. So I just don't think he'd yield enough return. I think it's, you just keep him. That's it. He's your third or fourth receiver.
Yeah. And I think he's only making $6 million this year, which for a wide receiver is not right.
Right. And he's, how much can a fourth receiver ask for? And I look at him as a third. I should say he's probably the third receiver because the unnamed player that we didn't get yet is one, whether it's the first or second round. Then there's Wandale, who I love. And then Slayton / Hyatt. And you would imagine Hyatt's going to get better. So he may push Slayton to the fourth spot. So.
Yeah.
And Hodgins is there too. So.
Yeah. I'm really excited about the wide receiver. I feel like, you know, we're finally working out some depth there. I know Marvin Harrison is obviously the guy. If he's off the board between Neighbors and Odunze, do you have, who's your favorite pick between those?
Odunze. Because a couple of reasons. One, the Neighbors off-field stuff does scare a little. And look, Josina Anderson baited him into the response about, you know, what the Giants are going to do with quarterback. Yeah, she kind of baited, and I get it. And he answered it okay, but there was a gun charge as well. Like, I just don't want Odell back. I like Odell's skill, but I don't want the off-field stuff. I was okay with trading Odell. I just didn't like what we got back. Odunze just fits the Giants, right? Like, big guy, pretty quick enough. I mean, he's not Neighbors fast, but he's fast, goes over the middle, and he's a compliment to Slayton / Hyatt / Wandale. Like, he's over the middle guy. I just think he'd fit here beautifully. He'd be the one. You'd see Odunze jerseys all over the Meadowlands if they got him. And I'm not going to be pissed if they got Neighbors, but I prefer Odunze.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Odunze also was a captain. So I like that he's going to have that leadership capability with him, whatever that means to the front office. I always talk about stuff like that. But I didn't like how he responded to that question. And I understand that these guys are young, but I feel like he should have had some sort of media training. And I just kind of was like, my biggest thing was like, he didn't seem like he would have been even remotely excited to come here. And I was just like, listen, no, I think we've had a tough go of things, but you know, when you see all these other guys with the Giants, like Saquon was in commercials, like these guys, he's with Gillette, like all of these players have these opportunities, you know, because they're in New York and XYZ. So I kind of was just like, oh, I feel like you could answer that a little better.
Right. And you worry about that, right? Like you're going to get a lot harder questions than that. Right. And I felt the same way. A little disrespectful, I thought, but then again, I thought, well, he's a young kid. What do you know? What does he know? Right. But I just think Odunze is such a safe pick, and he's, you know, he's going to be excellent. So I would go with him. Everyone has Neighbors going to the Giants. So I don't know what they know, but it's almost a no brainer at this point for me out of those two, you know?
Yeah. I feel like I'd be happy with either one, even though I'm with you. I prefer Odunze over him, but like if they pick either one, thrilled. We got a top wide receiver coming in. Yeah. It's immediately one position that is leveled up big time. Yep.
Is there a pick they could make? I asked Chris this, I asked Sean Maresh, I'll ask you. Is there a pick they can make at six within reason that you go nuclear over?
If they picked someone like if Neighbors or Odunze was on the board and they pick like Ladd McConkey or like Keon Coleman, like they just pick a wide receiver that you're like to me, that would be like Dave Gettleman type of.
What if they took Brock Bowers?
I really like Brock Bowers.
Okay. Because Sean Maresh said he would, you know, pillage.
Yeah, he wasn't.
I'm just curious.
I feel like regardless of what happens with Waller, we still need another tight end. So to me, it's a position of need, and he's a really good player. I watched some Georgia games and I love him. Right. I will take anyone that comes out of UGA. I don't know what they're doing down there, but like everyone that comes out of that school is unbelievable. So I would take him or Ladd McConkey, but I would not take Ladd McConkey.
Like if we traded down to 11 and 23 with the Vikings, say, and got Bowers and then Ladd McConkey, I'd be ecstatic.
Yes.
And then it's like, Daniel Jones, go get him, kid. See what happens. So
Do you think, and I've thought about this a lot recently too, because the way I look at it is no matter who they draft at the quarterback, they're not getting Caleb Williams. So any quarterback they get is not starting over Daniel Jones, and it's going to be Daniel Jones, and then it's going to be Drew Locke. And unless we have a worst case scenario again, which like knock on wood, let's hope we don't have to go to the third string quarterback.
Yep.
They're likely not playing this year. So I would be surprised if they walk out of the draft without a quarterback, but part of me is like, they're not going to play this year in theory anyway. Although I do think it's important for them to have, I would love for them to have a full year with Dable and be ready to go next year. But I'm like, maybe it wouldn't be so crazy if they walk out of there without a quarterback at all. And is that better or worse than picking like a Sam Hartman in round three? I don't know.
That's a good question. I don't know. Or Spencer Rattler, right? Mm-hmm. If they come away with no quarterback, I would be absolutely stunned.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it, I know what you're saying. See, I think, I think if they draft someone in the first round, if Daniel Jones falters at some point or gets hurt, and I know Drew Lock's there, I think by like week 8 or 9, you could see that rookie play. I just do.
Oh.
And look, like when Eli Manning was there, Daniel Jones got in what? Week 4? Week 3? What? The Buffalo. He got in. Yeah, well, he got in at the end of week 1 because Dallas. The end of the game in week 1 because Dallas was killing us, you know, all, as always.
Surprise. Yeah.
And then he got in. He got in for the Tampa game. I don't know if he got in for the Buffalo game that year. He got in for the Tampa game where he started.
Yeah.
So I know everyone's saying Daniel Jones, and Chris has said it too, and I believe it. Daniel Jones is a starter, but if he falters like he did last year, if Dable says Drake May or McCarthy are ready, and I'm just throwing those two names out there, I would not be surprised by week 8 or 9 that he's playing.
Do you think it depends if it's JJ or May versus if it's Penix, Nix, or Rattler, Milton?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it depends if those four, I could see it. I think anything beyond that, I think they might wait.
Yeah.
Like Spencer Rattler. You might get him in here and there just to see what he can do, but you know, now I think it does depend on if it's a first round pick or a third round pick. Sure. Yes.
Yeah. And you think regardless of Drew Lock being the backup, he would be number 3 if it's, let's say, Drake May.
Yeah. I think that Drake May is number 3. I think Drew Lock is there in case very early on Daniel Jones goes down. They don't want to just give it to the kid. They would have Drew Lock come in and play. Yeah. Yeah. And I think, unfortunately, Tommy DeVito's out.
Yeah. Do you think the offensive line situation is going to matter on which quarterback they would put in? Like, let's say the offensive line is doing well and Daniel Jones is throwing pick sixes and shit like that. If the offensive line is holding up, then do you put the rookie in? And if the offensive line is kind of faltering, but Jones is still doing stupid things and making bad decisions, like, does that, like, I feel like there could be so many different variables at play. And I don't know. I obviously don't know what their thought process is, but I think it's could be interesting.
No, I think it's a valid point. I think if the line's playing well, then it makes it easier to put the kid in, I would think. If Jones is faltering and the line looks like, wow, we've got our line solidified, I think it's a lot easier to put the kid in. Sure. It's a matter of, is the kid ready to play in the NFL? Or do we go with Drew Lock for a few weeks before that unnamed kid is ready? I also think, we haven't really touched on it much, even on our podcast, but like, if you're taking Michael Penix, I'm sorry, but right tackle is a concern. He's left-handed. So like, okay, then we better make sure Evan Neal's there, like the man, right? Otherwise you're going to Illuminor, right? Yeah. So I do think that matters, right? And you're not going to move Andrew Thomas over. So I'm not saying it you know, precludes them from taking Penix, but you have to think that through. Like, okay, how solid is our right tackle if we're taking this kid?
Right. So, if they go, let's say hypothetically, they go tackle round 1. Mm. I know everyone's talking about Joe Alt, but do you have any concerns like I do about moving him from left tackle to right tackle?
Yeah, we tried it with Neil. Yes. It doesn't work all the time.
Right. And that's, and you know, I've heard people say, oh, he's the best tackle coming out by far. He can play both, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, he spent his entire college career playing left tackle. Evan Neal spent his entire college career playing all different positions. And he claims he's a tackle forever and he's not good at tackle.
So. That's funny. I don't know how much right tackle Evan Neal played in college. I think he played guard. I think he played left tackle. I don't know how much right tackle he played. So you have to think about it, right? Like Evan Neal was at one point considered, at least on some mocks, to go number 1 overall to protect Trevor Lawrence's blind side. There were several mocks I saw that year that said he's going 1. He dropped to 7. Now you put him at right tackle, and it's like, I'm not saying Joe Alt can't do it, but I would think it through. Like, wait, we tried this with Neil. It didn't work. Can Joe Alt move from left tackle to right? Because it's a concern. We see it, how much of a concern it is.
Right.
I mean, Evan Neal's last year at times looked like he never played the offensive line at all. So. Yeah.
Well, and then we've also, Joe had how many guards rotating in at tackle? And listen, they weren't spectacular guards to begin with, but also Evan Neal wasn't a spectacular tackle and you're moving him side to side. So I don't know. That's just a huge concern for me. And that's why I don't see them picking alt at six, like that would surprise me more than
it would surprise me. I wouldn't be mad about it. It would mean that, all right, they've done enough research to not make this mistake again, that they took a kid who can move to right tackle, but it would mean the end of Evan Neal at tackle and you're putting him at guard. But yeah, I would be surprised by that. I think it's quarterback says, I say quarterback, 51% of me says quarterback, 49 says wide receiver, and that's starting to move the other way. Because I just don't think the Giants can be able to trade up, and I don't know who's going to be there at six.
Yeah, that's what I think too.
And I think Arizona's in a prime position to move out and maybe still get Marvin Harrison. Unless Harbaugh takes him at five.
Most of the mocks that I'm seeing have the Cards trading out and having someone else scoop in. I think it's always the Vikings to come in and get JJ, and then I think Marvin Harrison, and then it would give us either Neighbors or Odunze, which would be interesting. Yep. Last thing I want to touch on is corner.
Yeah.
I know Cooper DeJean is the top guy coming out, but I have concern. I feel like we need a veteran corner, but I don't think it's going to be a Dory Jackson. I think there's going to be post June 1st cuts and we'll see who they bring in then. But if they pick a corner, and to be honest, I didn't know a lot about Tay Banks last year, so I was a little surprised that he was the guy, but obviously it worked out great for him. Yeah. So if they go corner, let's say round two, best player available, they think the corner is the guy. How would you feel? Like, would you feel good about him starting opposite Tay, I guess?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, because the other option is right now is Nick McCloud, who we like, but I like him in the slot a bit more, along with like a Cordell Flott or... So, I'd be fine with it because I think it's kind of like receiver. Like if you take a receiver in round one or it's round two, they're starting. They're going to be the number one receiver. I think we've reached that point with corner as well. So take a corner in round two, you know, like McKinstry. I don't think McKinstry's going to be there or Wiggins, but like, you know, what's his name? Sanders. I always mispronounce his name. Kid from Michigan. Sanders still, right? Like a guy like that, like in round two, again, a position I'm not going to be mad about. Right, because we need corners. But you know, would they start? I would imagine. Yes. Absolutely. Sure.
Yeah. I'm still a little worried about the slot corner too. I really like Cordell Flott, but you know, we saw last year he needs some more work.
So. Yeah, and Darnay Holmes is back, but he doesn't make me feel better about slot. My God. Right. I think
about Darnay Holmes.
You take a corner, I like McCloud in the slot, to be honest with you. So
yeah. I'm curious to see what they do there. One last question. What do you think about Darren Waller now that it was announced today that they have filed for divorce?
Yeah. I mean, obviously now you know what's going on. Right. And who the hell else knows? I mean, I just can't believe he's taking his time. Kudos to Shane for showing patience, but
I mean, I'm kind of surprised by that. He seems like a no-nonsense
guy. I asked Chris about it too. I was like, what is that? What's all that about? He said, he's trying to do the right thing. Right. But you know, behind the scenes, he's probably pissed. But I would just say, you know, if you're thinking about retirement and you're talking about it and you haven't, then you're already there. So I don't know how well he's going to do. And now he's got the divorce thing. And she put out something. I saw his wife put out something on Twitter that was kind of cryptic. Like,
she sounds devastated.
So he might seem to be going through some demons. He had demons in Vegas or before that. So I don't know. I'm again speculating, but you know, I just move on, get another tight end in here. Hope Bellinger can continue to develop. He had kind of an off year last year after having a pretty promising rookie year. So I've moved on. I moved on from Waller's about a month ago. When this started to come out, and now you see this and you're like, all right, well, I don't think this is going to make him want to play more. Right. I've moved on from Darren Waller.
Yeah. I was feeling like when he was thinking about retirement, I'm like, especially after the injuries he had last year, I get it, but like, it's time, just call it quits. But now that the divorce has been announced, a part of me feels like,
so you think he might be the other way.
Yes. Kind of feel like, if he doesn't have to worry about this and this is official, whatever, they made up their mind, then maybe now he feels like he can only focus on football.
Well, that'd be funny if his announcement comes tomorrow or the next day, like, I'm back. All right, well, we knew what was going on then. Right. So, what worries me is he obviously has demons in his past, and her note was pretty cryptic about like, I was with you through this and I'm heartbroken. And I just thought, I wonder if some of that has come back. That's all. I don't know. So that's what I worry about.
Yeah.
Hope it hasn't. I hope it hasn't. And I hope, like you said, I hope he comes back and says, all right, I'm back, baby. And we're like, okay, cool. Come back, Darren. And now you can be our fourth option on offense, right? So after our number one receiver that we don't have yet, after Wandale, maybe third option. So there you go.
Yeah. I think he said his deadline for himself was OTAs. So as soon as the draft is over, you know, before we know it, we'll have some ideas.
Right before practice, he's going to say, I don't want to go.
Yeah. So. Right. Yeah. And by then, let's hope we have another tight end besides Stoll and what's his name? Manhurts. Yeah. Okay. So your final prediction is Thursday. You are 51% quarterback.
Well, no, I think we're going to trade up and I think we're going to get Drake May somehow.
Okay.
Just to call it a hunch.
All right. Yeah. I would be thrilled with that.
Yeah. And my original, I have to do these stupid mocks in the newspaper like a month before. So like all these rumors, more rumors are I'm so far removed from the rumors. When I put it out, I have the Vikings trading up to 3 and taking JJ McCarthy.
Okay.
But it's also wishful thinking. Right. Cause I want Drake May over McCarthy.
I
admit it.
That's how I feel about the McCarthy thing too. I'm like, I'm trying my best to be objective here, but I have my concerns and I have less concerns about Drake May than I do about McCarthy.
Put it this way.
So just be happier there.
If I don't want, there's none of these six quarterbacks would get me as mad as Daniel Jones did at six. I mean, even if they could take Bo Nix at six and I'm like, okay, let's go. I'm not going to be elated, but I'm not going to walk home in the rain over it. You know, so, I mean, real quick, last one more for you. And I know you're interviewing me, but I'll interview you. If they take McCarthy, are you as pissed as you were when they took Jones?
No.
Okay. If they took McCarthy at six, what about if they trade up to get McCarthy?
The reason why I think I would be less pissed is because I trust Shane and Dable more than I ever trusted Gettleman.
That's a difference. I agree. Yep.
And I think the thing about McCarthy, is so many, when you have so many experts, these draft analysts and whatever, who say they've seen really good things on tape and like you hear it from those people's mouths. I'm like, there has to be something here. People weren't saying that about Daniel Jones. Like the consensus across the board was he is not worth a sixth overall pick.
Right. So. Yep. They were saying he's not worth the 17th, which we had too, or whatever it was. So I think that was the Dexter Lawrence pick, 17. So that's why I said like he wasn't even worth that. So
So either way, I think, you know, unless they do something insane, which I don't expect from this front office, I think most, if not all of us Giants fans will walk away happy on Thursday.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. I agree.
Yeah. So I'm excited. Well, we have about 48 hours.
Yep.
In the meantime, go Rangers, go Knicks.
So your husband, is he a Bruins?
He's a Bruins fan.
So tell him, I don't care if they win or lose. I just hope it goes seven and it's very grueling. That's all I hope for. I want every other series, even the Islanders. Like, I'm hoping they tie it up. I know they won't because they're going to get swept by the Hurricanes because they stink. The Islanders.
Yeah, my husband thinks the same.
But I hope every series other than the Rangers go seven and I don't care who wins. So tell them good luck. But just want, I want it to go seven.
Wait, but you have to make an exception that you can't. You don't want the Dallas Stars to win. We can't have another Dallas championship or a Dallas.
Oh no, I don't care. If we get there, we're winning. So how about that?
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, I'll take we get out back. Of the East. If we get out of our conference, we're winning.
Okay.
So
just got to make it through that one hump. That was the Bruins was the same thing. Well, my husband was like, if they win round one, they're winning the cup.
You're gonna have to go through Carolina next, probably, and then the winner of, you know, out of the rest of the four teams, they're all great. You know, even the Maple Leafs are good. You know, they're scary. So.
Yeah.
So I wanted to get tired out. Tire them all out.
It's going to be a good playoff hockey postseason. Yeah, should be fun. Sure.
Yep.
Definitely. Well, enjoy. Yeah. And we'll see what happens on Thursday. In the meantime, a lot to look forward to.
Thanks so much, Adrienne. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely.